The end begins with a Pegasus landing on Percy Jackson's car during a beach date. His friend Blackjack arrives with Charles Beckendorf, signaling it's time for their dangerous mission to destroy Cronus's cruise ship headquarters. Flying over the Atlantic, they plant Greek fire explosives in the engine room, but their mission is compromised. A spy at Camp Half-Blood has betrayed them. When Beckendorf is captured, he signals Percy to escape before detonating the explosives, sacrificing himself to destroy the ship. After blacking out from the explosion, Percy awakens in his father's underwater palace, now a war zone, as Poseidon battles the ancient sea god Oceanus. The once powerful sea god has aged dramatically, his appearance reflecting his realm's dire state after a year of continuous warfare. Despite Percy's offer to help, Poseidon insists he return to camp to hear the complete great prophecy, reminding him about a sand dollar birthday gift that will prove significant later. Returning to Camp Half-Blood with news of Beckendorf's death, Percy finds fewer demigods than previous summers, many dead, gone, or defected to Cronus's army. The emotional weight becomes painfully evident when Selena Beauregard breaks down upon learning of her boyfriend Charlie's death. Chiron finally agrees it's time for Percy to learn the full great prophecy. In the big house attic, Annabeth retrieves a small parchment from around the mummified oracle's neck. The ominous words reveal Percy's likely fate. A half-blood of the eldest gods shall reach 16 against all odds, and see the world in endless sleep. The hero's soul, cursed blade, shall reap. A single choice shall end his days, Olympus to preserve or raise. The implications are clear. Percy will likely die making a choice that determines Olympus's survival. Meanwhile, the War Council views images of Typhon, the most dangerous monster in mythology, battling gods across America as he heads toward New York, a diversion from Cronus's true plan to attack Olympus directly. Nico D'Angelo proposes a dangerous plan to Percy, making him invincible like Luke by bathing in the River Styx. This confirms how Luke became seemingly invulnerable. Though hesitant, Percy agrees to consider it. They visit Luke's mother in Connecticut, finding a disturbing scene. May Castellan lives amid protective charms, mistaking them for Luke while offering burned cookies. Her kitchen contains moldy food and photos of Hermes, revealing her delusional state. She mentions Luke seeking her blessing before going to a river. Suddenly, her eyes glow green as she experiences a prophetic fit, warning about his fate. After getting his parents' blessing, Percy and Nico descend to the underworld using Mrs. O'Leary's shadow travel. There, Nico betrays Percy, leading him into Hades' trap. The god wants Nico to fulfill the prophecy instead, planning to imprison Percy until then. Despite this betrayal, Nico helps Percy escape to the River Styx. At the river, Percy must focus on a single vulnerable point, the small of his back, and something anchoring him to mortal life. As he immerses in the painful waters, visions of Annabeth pulling him from the current become his lifeline, revealing his true feelings for her. With newfound strength and invulnerability, Percy leads 40 campers, the largest group of half-bloods ever assembled outside camp, to defend Manhattan. On the Williamsburg Bridge, Percy confronts the Minotaur, taunting him with, "Hey, beef boy, didn't I kill you already?" With supernatural skill from the curse of Achilles, he defeats the monster and charges through enemy forces until they retreat. As Percy and the Apollo campers pursue the fleeing monsters, Cronus himself appears with reinforcements. During the retreat, Ethan Nakamura attempts to stab Percy in his vulnerable spot, but Annabeth intercepts the blow, taking a poison knife for him, demonstrating her love and loyalty. Percy faces Cronus one-on-one, their clash literally shaking the bridge. Following Michael Yu's suggestion, Percy stabs Riptide into the pavement, causing salt water to erupt and break the bridge apart. Cronus retreats, promising to return by evening. Percy establishes the Plaza Hotel as headquarters during the intensifying battle. While treating Annabeth's wound, he reveals his vulnerable Achilles spot to her. She confesses that Luke had visited her before becoming Kronos' host, begging her to flee with him. She refused, but wonders if she could have prevented his fall. Prometheus arrives under truce, offering terms. If demigods surrender, New York will be spared. He presents Pandora's jar containing Elpis, the spirit of hope. Opening it would signal Percy's surrender. The war peaks when Kronos unleashes the Lydian Drakon, killable only by an Ares child. With the Ares cabin absent due to Clarissa's feud with Apollo's cabin, war chariots led by Clarisse arrive. When the monster poisons her, the real Clarisse appears, revealing the imposter was Selena Beauregard. Dying, Selena confesses to being Kronos' spy, manipulated by Luke's charm and false promises. She'd stolen Clarissa's armor, knowing only Clarisse could lead the Ares cabin. Despite her betrayal, Selena died heroically. She was a hero, understand? A hero. With their forces dwindling, Percy makes a desperate move, sitting on his father's throne to establish direct communication with Poseidon, convincing him to help defeat Typhon. Kronos leads the final assault on the Empire State Building. Just as all seems lost, Hades arrives with reinforcements, and Percy's parents join the fight. Percy, Annabeth, Thalia, and Grover race to Olympus for the final confrontation. They find Olympus in ruins. Inside the destroyed throne room, Kronos stands triumphant. During the battle, Ethan Nakamura realizes that total destruction isn't balance, turns on Kronos, and dies for his betrayal. As Percy and Kronos fight, Poseidon arrives with Cyclops led by Tyson to defeat Typhon. When Kronos attacks with blinding speed, Annabeth intervenes, catching his strike and trying to reach Luke inside Kronos. In the prophecy's fulfillment, Percy gives Luke Annabeth's knife, understanding that Luke is the true hero. Luke stabs himself in his mortal point, destroying Kronos. With his final breath, Luke makes Percy promise to prevent the gods from neglecting their children, the fundamental issue that started the entire conflict. In victory's aftermath, the gods honor their heroes. When offered godhood, Percy refuses, instead requesting that all gods recognize their children by age 13, that minor gods receive cabins at camp, and that the Pact of the Big Three end, addressing the root causes of the war. Rachel Elizabeth Dare becomes the new Oracle of Delphi, delivering a new great prophecy about seven half-bloods answering a call. On Percy's 16th birthday, Annabeth brings him a blue cupcake, leading to their long-awaited kiss. The final chapter shows Camp Half-Blood expanding with new cabins for minor gods. During a beach visit, Poseidon appears to thank Percy. Though Rachel's ominous prophecy looms, Percy and Annabeth have earned their moment of peace. When she challenges him to race to the road, Percy doesn't look back, finally free to look forward rather than constantly watching for threats from his past.